Which book do you believe is the most important in the world? Let me repeat that question. Which book do you believe is the most important in the world? If you were to have all of your books taken from you except one, which would you choose? Now, I believe the Bible is the most important book that man has today in his possession. And I want to give you some reasons for this. And the first scripture I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. And this scripture says this, "For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the thing preached to save them that believe." Today man has made many wonderful steps as far as education is concerned. He's made tremendous progress. They tell us that today 90% of the scientists that have ever lived are living today. And we think of all the amazing explorations that man has made. The progress that we found in every field. Today man is exploring space. Today man has made some tremendous breakthroughs as far as medical science is concerned. In every area, we can say that man has advanced. And yet, as far as spiritual and personal problems are concerned, man has the same old problems, the problems of frustration, the problems of knowing just what the meaning of life is, the problem of what the Bible calls is sin, the sin problem, this sense of failure, this realization I've done wrong, I haven't done what's right. And so with all of our advancement, we find that we still are not able to live as we should. And we need to have God give us a revelation of himself. We need to have God speak to us. Now, it's wonderful to be able to look at creation and to see the hand of God in this, to be able to go out and to admire God's handiwork, to enjoy a walk through the forest, to enjoy a walk in the mountains or along the beach, and to look out upon these things that he has made and to think of the greatness and the majesty and the wonder of God. And yet we don't really get to know God as we should in this way, any more than you get to know a carpenter fully simply by looking at a house that he's made. You say, well, no, to really get to know him, I would have to visit him. I'd have to get to talk to him. I'd need to listen to him so I could hear what he's thinking, what his attitudes are, what his sense of values is. And so it is with God. To really get to know God, we must hear him speak to us. And he's given us a book in which he speaks to man. I'm so thankful that we have a revelation from God. A special revelation, the Word of God itself. Now, one of the most important scriptures with regard to this whole matter is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Here the scripture says that all scripture is inspired of God. Now let's think of the scope of this first of all. All scripture, we think of the Old Testament, it has 39 books. We think of the New Testament, it has 27. There's a total of 66. Because as you know, the Bible is like a library. It's not just a single book. It's a book made up of books. God using these different authors over a long period of time, perhaps 1400 years or so, and writing through them, using them to give us his message. But when the scripture here says all scripture, we think of these 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 of the New that have the mark of God upon them. The Old Testament that we have in our Bible today, these 39 books in the regular Protestant Bible, is the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus used. It's still the Jewish Bible today. These are the books that the Lord Jesus read as he was growing up. This is the scripture that he had. This was the book he reverenced, he read, he learned from. The Old Testament that we have today. Inspired of God. Let's think about that for just a few minutes. Now, this word inspired is used in different ways. Sometimes you may be reading a piece of good writing, some classic. You might be reading one of Shakespeare's works. And as you read it, you were just swept along by his thought and his expression. And when you were through, you said, my, he was inspired when he wrote this. And we use the word in this way. We mean that here man is just swept up and he's working at the peak of his ability. He goes further than he usually does. He's operating at the peak of his potential, and we're lifted up too, as we read. But this isn't what the scripture means here. This does not mean that this is simply man at his best. But here, this word inspired means this is God-breathed. This book comes from God. As when I'm speaking, my breath comes out, and the sounds are formed, the words are formed. So God, as he's giving the scripture here, this message is coming from God. It's not simply man working by himself and producing this book. It's the best he can do. But surely the word of God all the way through emphasizes this. And as we read the book, this comes home to us. This is more than a human book. This is God's book. God is speaking to us. God breathed. All scripture inspired is inspired of God and is profitable. Oh, how glad I am that God has spoken to us through his book. Now, what is the channel that God used? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spake from God, being moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. God used men. This is a divine book, but in another way, it's a human book. God used men. He didn't use angels when he gave us this book. He didn't use a method of dictation so that the words are stilted and they're not human words or it isn't a human type of expression. He used men. He didn't treat these men as if they were just robots, and he was moving them without them having any part in this. These were men that were born along by the Holy Spirit and yet left upon their writings the marks of their own personalities, their training, their ability, their background. But we see this in the works that they've written. You read the writings of Paul, and you realize he was trained very differently, and he had a very different background from Peter. Peter, a fisherman. Peter, one who was used to the outdoors. Paul, one who was a city boy, and who grew up and was schooled in what we would call a university-type education. A different type of training, and yet each being used to give us the message of God. And each having his part in giving us the whole truth of God. Men spake from God. Ordinary men. Men that had failure. Men that weren't perfect. Men that had sinned. But men who were lifted up by the Holy Spirit and were used by God to give us this message. Now, what's the goal of Scripture? The goal of Scripture, he says here, is, first of all, of course, that we should be saved. We should come to know the Lord. We might come to know this God who's given us this book, because by nature we're far from him. We're in our sins. We're wandering. The Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And this is the picture of mankind today. But God has given us this book that we might come to him. And so he says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, from a babe, he speaks to Timothy here, from a babe, from an infant, you've known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, of course, the first goal is that you might come to know the Lord Jesus, and through knowing him, come to know God. There's no other way to be right with God. There's no other way to know your sins forgiven, except through coming to the Lord Jesus as a lost sinner and accepting this one who hung upon the cross and suffered and bled and died for you. This is the only way. Now, after one becomes a Christian, then, of course, the goal is that we should grow and make progress as Christians. And you know, it's interesting, when we think of this matter of coming to the Lord, that God is able to use this book even without anyone else being around at times. I have a friend who's a college professor and who came to know the Lord simply because as a young man in high school, he became deeply concerned. He wasn't going to a church where he even heard the Bible being preached. And yet he was concerned to know God. He thought there must be a God, and I wish I could know him. And he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior simply through reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. As he came to the end of John, he realized that Christ was the Savior. He was all he claimed to be. And he accepted him and became a Christian. How wonderful, you see, the power of God's Word. And for the Christian, it's able to make you the kind of person you should be. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, that you may be mature, a well-rounded, balanced, happy, useful Christian. This book, he says, is enough for this. If you will read, if you will study, if you will apply, if as God speaks to you about your life and about different areas of it, you will submit your life to him, if you will take this book to heart and make it part of you, you can become a full-grown, mature Christian. Oh, the power of the Word of God. If you're a Christian, oh, I hope you're reading the Word of God, reading it daily. If you're not a Christian, if you'll read this book, read the Gospel of John, you can come to know the Lord. You can come to know your sins are forgiven. This book, this wonderful book, the Bible, from God, given through man, inspired, bearing his message, is a book we desperately need to hear today. Let me read a few verses from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9, that emphasizes the value and the blessing of the Bible. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth, and so forth. This wonderful book is a book that you need to make you a full-grown Christian. Oh, Christian, read the Word of God.